Morning. What does it take to be the pastor of a church? One of the things I've learned over the years is there's more to almost every job than what meets the eye. Most of the time we deal with somebody in the what's called the P time of their job or the pay time of their job. So for instance, when we see a doctor, we may get charged several hundred dollars for a few minutes, but we have no idea everything that goes on behind the scenes to make that appointment happen. All the hours of training, the time it takes to schedule, continuing education, the list goes on and on. The average pastor spends 10 to 20 hours per week preparing a 30-minute sermon. I have to confess, I did not spend 20 hours working on this. This time is spent not only on writing, but also on prayer, meditation, and practicing the delivery of the sermon. So if your pastor spends that much time on preparing a sermon, what else do they do the rest of the week? During our board meetings, we have a minister's report. And beyond preparing and delivering awesome sermons on a weekly basis, Mike also teaches the high school Sunday school class, leads the Sunday evening youth group, leads the Wednesday evening Bible study, does a Bible study at Valley Mental Health Care, prepares children's messages and leads children's time during church, is involved with jams, is available for counseling, including pre-marriage counseling, prepares and counsels for baptism, he's the minister at funerals, he's the Jefferson County Hospice Chaplain. He has hospice staff meetings twice a month. That's a lot. And there's a lot more than that that I don't know about, that we don't know about. So he's a very busy guy. And I wasn't truly aware of that until I sat in on the staff meetings and became part of those, just how much Mike does. And I don't know that we all truly, I can't speak for everybody. I don't truly appreciate everything Mike does all the time. And he is always at beck and call of everybody. So my question is, do you pray for your pastor? Do you pray for Mike? And we also need to pray for Gina. Those who impact our lives deserve our prayers. That's a big list I just read for Mike, and I know there's a lot more. Our sermon text today is 1 Timothy 3, 2 through 5. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? We need to not only pray for our pastor, but our other church leaders. They need our prayers. Are there any of us that could fulfill those criteria in 1 Timothy without spiritual help? Hebrews 13:7 reads, "Remember your leaders, who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." How can a pastor be qualified for ministry without prayer? In 1 Timothy 3:2 and 4, it read, "Therefore an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard." And I'm not going to read the whole thing. But that's a tough list. That's a tough list for any of us. And I don't know that any of us can fight that battle without other people praying for us. So in praying for Mike and his family, our church leaders and our family, we need to remember that their front line and their defense for us is their family. Just like when I talked about with our hands last week, God's a priority in our life. But the next priority in our lives are families. And if a pastor or our church leaders are struggling in their family life, then it's tough for them to effectively be leaders in our church. The sad thing is, oftentimes a pastor gets so busy that they neglect their family life of their own in their efforts to lead the church. 1 Timothy 3:5 read, "For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church?" This isn't a negative way to look at it. Truth be told, none of us know how to manage our own household without spiritual guidance. I guess I'm not pointing out our note lines here. Our next one is pray for the pastor's protection. 1 Timothy 3:2 read, "Therefore an overseer must be above reproach." Reproach means to find fault. We should not be able to find fault in our church leaders, but this is an impossible expectation for any man. Mark 10:18 says, "No one is good except God alone." So, at the onset, it's an impossible task to be totally above reproach. Our pastor is no different than we are in dealing with life's temptations and challenges. This protection is made possible through the power of prayer. 1 Timothy 3:7 reads, "Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil." 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." He's after our church leaders too. We need to pray for our pastor's physical and mental health. That's one of your note lines. We need to be aware that pastors too and our church leaders can have the Sunday answer when we ask how they're doing, "I'm good," just like we respond, when perhaps everything truly isn't. And I think that's something all of us need to work on. That's a step into being a deeper church if we don't take that question lightly, and if we don't answer it lightly. That's a pretty big challenge there. The first things every pastor will neglect are similar to us. The first thing that often goes by the wayside is their physical health. Why is this important? 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Church leaders are no different than the rest of us. When life gets busy, one of the first things that gets cut out is taking proper care of ourselves physically. And the other thing that often declines and lets go by the wayside and is neglected with pastors is their mental health. Pastors have very high rates of stress and burnout. A study by the Fuller Institute, George Barna, and Pastoral Care Incorporated found that 90% of pastors report working between 55 to 75 hours per week, and that 50% feel unable to meet the demands of the job. And in a small church like this, that burden, that overload can get probably even more intense than in a lot bigger church where maybe there's a full-time assistant pastor or maybe several assistant pastors. They have a dedicated youth group leader. But Mike wears a lot of hats in this church, and I don't know that we always appreciate that. I'm sure that burden and everything he has to carry gets pretty tough at times. And it's I think it's easy to get taken for granted when you're trying to juggle that many things on your plate and get to the point where you wonder if your efforts really matter. So, in summation of those two items, God loves both the mind and the body, and we need to help our church leaders take care of that in their respects. We also need to make sure to consider and thank the spouses of our church leaders. They do a tremendous amount behind the scenes, a lot. And I know Gina's pretty quiet a lot of the times, but Mike leans on her, I know. And all of our church leaders lean on their spouses. Today's going to be a little bit shorter than last week. I want to thank everybody for the Christ-likeness that our church has shown over the last month while Mike and Gina have been gone. I think it's been pretty cool. Maybe haven't rolled along at quite the speed we normally do, but it's cool. We're a church. We're a family. We kept going, and everybody kind of rallied together, and we still have a lot of people sitting here on Sunday morning and tolerating Stan and I. So I thank you for your support. But it's been good. I'm sure Mike is pleased with how things have gone. On the last line of the scripture reading today from Hebrews 7:19, it said, "I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon." And I think Mike picked that to say he's coming back next week. And Mike also wanted to present a challenge to the church for each of us. And it reads, "I'm a church member. I will pray for my pastor every day. I understand that a pastor's work is never ending. His days are filled with numerous demands that bring emotional highs and lows. He must deal with his critics. He must be a good husband and father. Because my pastor cannot do all things in his own power, I will pray for his strength and his wisdom daily." That is a direct request from Mike. He's asking for our prayers, and we need to fulfill his request and pray for him every day. That when I read that, I can tell it's from his heart. That's a pretty heartfelt request from him. If you haven't been baptized, if you haven't committed your life to Christ, come up and talk to Jay or Stan afterwards, or when Mike gets back, talk to him. But don't wait. The day is today. If you want to get baptized today, we'll certainly oblige and celebrate in doing it. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we thank you for our church. We thank you that you're such an awesome Father and we can be in your house. We pray that Mike and Gina have had a wonderful, refreshing month, a chance to refocus and re-energize. I pray for this church's guidance, that we all can resist the devil, that we can be open with each other and lift each other up, that we can pray for each other and grow as a church. And Lord, I pray for our country and all the craziness that escalated even more this week. And we know that you ultimately are in control. And most of all, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.